One of the stories I've seen on the news, and I'm sure some of you have seen it as well, it's a devastating story of people losing homes. Now, praise God for what I've seen so far. No one has lost their lives. And these are just talking about very wealthy people. It's in California, and there is an area over there to where the houses are falling. In other words, they're extremely unsafe. There's no way you can save them. Some people just had moments to get what few things they could and to get out. And then all they can do is wait for the houses to fall. Right, seeing the same thing in Florida, in which I wish it was just potholes, it would be something they could fix, but sinkholes. And they would find them within houses, and unfortunately in that, many people did die. And what's significant about this is you would take these million, at times multi-million dollar homes, and in an instance, they'd become worthless. Now, that is a perfect example of what we have today. You see, you look around, a lot of people, how they live, certain things they do, at times how they act, is just the houses, the surface part. But later on, you may see rumblings in their house or in their ministry or in how they live, and you may wonder, how can this person be so godly and then be this way? Well, the problem is, a lot of times we measure just by the house. We see just the house. The most important part of any home, which truly adds the value, is the foundation. The name of this Order My Steps is True Foundation. I need you to understand, there is only one true foundation. Christ shows us this, and we see it in 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 11. Paul's inspired to say, by the grace God has given me, watch this, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. Okay? He says, I laid a foundation, made very clear, a foundation, and he laid it. Because as an apostle, this was their responsibility. I'll explain that. And it says, and someone else is building on it. That's everybody else. Now look what he shows here. But each one should be careful how he builds. So that's going to be our ministries. We'll go briefly over that. But look what he says in verse 11. And you got to make sure you understand this. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Do you see this? Now, if you get a chance and you read John 1, 1 to 14, it really breaks down who Jesus is and what he came to do and how he is it. Everything we do must be based on him. He is God, as you would see in John 1, 1. So the whole entire package has to be based on him. The foundation and what it can hold. It's funny because going back to regular construction, the foundation that they usually do, construction workers, they have to come and say, this size of a building can be built for this foundation to hold. Do you get this? Okay. So the foundation dictates the building. So now understand, what we build is the ministries. So that's going to be the thing. Our ministries. Not like he said, each one should be careful how he builds. My ministry. I got to recognize how that is. It's going to really show and minister to people and answer to God and all that's important. But the thing that's going to sustain it, the thing that's going to make it work is the foundation. The most important part is what we build on. The foundation, which is Christ. Now here's some examples of some false foundations. Lifestyles. Now, for instance, just regular lifestyle. I have a certain lifestyle, and this the lifestyle I have, so that's what my life foundation is. Politics. Many people pick a political agenda or a political ideology, and that's what they base their life on. Traditions. Human ideologies. False religions. The foundation is the basis or the purpose. Do you understand that? It's going to be the reason all of this is done. Why and how? It's going to be it. It's going to be the thing that solidifies and supports everything that you do. So what is the process to build on the true foundation. Well, Luke 6, 46 to 49 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? So he's asking a question. Christ is asking us the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Because Lord means, you know, I do everything for you. Lordship is much a very important part of our walk because we do exactly what he tells us. But he's saying, why do you call me Lord? Watch this. And do not do what I say. And this is a common practice. There are many people who don't read the Bible but call themselves Christians. How? How can you say he's your Lord and you don't know what he's telling you to do? There are people who listen and don't do what he says. How? How can you call him Lord and you don't do what he tells you to do? That's what he says. And do not do what I say. He says in verse 47, I will show you what it is like, what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. Now understand this. This whole concept of foundation is going to require these two things. Hearing of the word, putting them into practice. Now, why I underline my words is not just hearing a word. Did you catch that? Because some will go to church, they'll hear a message, and they'll follow that message. Sounds great. But if that message is not from God's word, you did all that for nothing. In fact, you may be doing the wrong thing, right? You may have been poisoned. That's why it says, here's my word. There are a lot of preachers out here that are preaching inspiring messages. They're speaking cultural messages, intellectual messages. I can go down the list of what they're preaching. People are receiving that message, but they've missed this. They haven't even gotten the first part of this. He says, here's my words. This is why you must check everybody, including me. Make sure you check everything that you're getting that is in the word. Here's my words and puts them into practice. Then you got to do it. So we go to get God's word in order to do it. We don't just go to get God's word to say we got God's word. We don't just become students just to receive the word and never use it. Oh, no, we do it in order for us to apply it. He said in verse 48, he is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. Rock, which can't sink, which is solid. It said, now watch this. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it. Why? Because it was well built. Now, he built the house, but how it was built was based on the foundation, that rock that he laid it on. But watch this. But the one who hears my words, so this even goes deeper, because this is excluding those who don't hear the words. Are those who hear the wrong words. Right now, they're just already excluded. They're already in extreme danger anyway. But he's even given to the group that hears my words. There are those that are receiving what God's word is, but they're not doing it. It says, does not put them into practice. Do you notice how this narrowed down multiple people that claim to be Christian? Do you get this? Hearing the words of Christ and doing them. He says, here's my words and does not put them into practice. It's like a man who built a house. Once again, the building of the house, both groups build a house. The ministries are still the same. So you'll watch these people and they'll go out and they'll do good deeds. They'll go out and they'll help people. They'll go out and they'll follow certain things. They'll grace give. They'll go to church. Sometimes they'll be nice to people. They'll do these things. They'll follow the pattern. But the problem is the foundation. Because just like them, they're building their ministries. But watch this, on the ground without a foundation. That's why we say all other ground is sinking sand. You get it? The moment the torrent struck, and I want to show you something else there, both cases still went through traumatic situations. So it's not about the situation. Both went through a torrent that struck the house. They both went through devastating situations. Christians know that. That's why they build on the foundations. Non-Christians don't know that, and they're being thrown all over the place. And it's done purposely because he only wants those on sound foundation. He says, it collapses, and its destruction was complete. Now, that should be devastating because it's letting us know if I'm not on that foundation, which is Christ, destruction is complete. The foundation is hearing the word and doing what the word says. Simply put, it's a requirement, not a suggestion. James 1:22 through 25 says, do not merely listen to the word, watch this, and so deceive yourselves. There are a lot that, man, they get books, they get tapes, we get online, we have all this stuff. We listen to it. We take it in. We can even tell people about it. All sounds great. But we're deceiving ourselves because we're now gaining knowledge, which just puffs up instead of doing love. And I'm going to show you what that means in a little bit. But deceives themselves because they're not doing what it says. He says, and so deceives yourself. He says, do what it says. He makes very clear, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. He went to the mirror for a purpose and it was worthless. Why did you even waste your time if you're not going to remember what you look like? But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and, watch this, continues to do this. This becomes their life practice, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. He will be blessed in what he does. This process, God puts it into place. It was something that came to me because growing in the culture of churches today, there's a pattern in which I've had a lot of people give me advice on what I need to do as a minister and with our church. And most of it's based on that building part. Do you understand that? Very little on the foundation part. So I'm watching these places and these organizations go through the motions of traditions and practices, but they're missing foundation. People are going through the motion, going to these buildings, going to these organizations, listening to messages, no foundation. It's devastating when you think about it. Do you understand that? Because all of it comes down to us loving Christ. This is part of our relationship with Christ. Only those who love him. Now, many of us will say, I love him. And that's what the world wants you to do. It wants you to have this counterfeit, mixed up version of love instead of showing true love. The true foundation is true love for Christ. Its authenticity will be shown. John 14, 23 through 24 says, Jesus replied, if, he's given this as an option and something that will exist. He says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Now, don't mix it up. He's not saying obey my teaching and show me that you love me. He said, no. He was like, the ones that truly love me, watch them. They're going out of their way to learn what I say in order to do it, is what he's saying. He said, they obey by teaching. My Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching, simply put. See, so if I'm not getting the word, I don't love Christ. If I get the word and I'm not understanding the word, trying to understand it, I don't love Christ. If I get the word, understand the word, but I don't do the word, I don't love Christ. It has to be his word. I have to get this word in order to do this word. That's the ones that love him. He says, these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Do y'all get this? Okay. All of this comes down. All of this falls into place for us to understand true love. And it's not mixed. You know, when some people will hear this and say, okay, I can do what he says. Stop. Because then it'll turn into work. It'll be you trying it and you're going to be in the same boat. The key is understand purpose. Don't run and try to understand his word to fix something. Understand his word because that is life. That will prepare you for whatever situations and things you go through. That will prepare you for whatever lot God has placed for you to do. Now, here's the danger. Antichrists, like the man of sin, will easily mislead those with wrong foundations. We see it today. All the time. You get these teachers come in, they give some concept, you're gone. I watch it on politics. I watch these people get up there and they say some things. And it's not those things. That's disturbing because we know these things are coming. Satan always puts these things out here. What's disturbing is when I see people follow them. And they're so blatant and they're so clear if you're in God's word, but people follow them, especially in politics. And this is such a dangerous thing. And this is on every side of politics from every country. And they call themselves Christians. And this is what the man of sin is going to do. And it shows how he's going to get away with it. And it gives us the protection that we need if we follow it. Look what he says in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 to 10. It says the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan. Do you understand that? Now, understand what the work of Satan is. The work of Satan is going to be outside of the work of God. The work of Satan's sole thing is not to do what God says. It'll be displayed in all kinds of, watch this, counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. And in every sort of evil that, watch this, deceives those who are perishing. So it's only going to deceive those who are perishing. It's only going to deceive those who are headed in the wrong direction. Now, some would stop there and go, that's not talking about me. But who are the ones that are perishing? Because you've got a lot of people that have accepted the title of, but they're still of this group who are perishing. How do I know when I'm not of the group that's perishing? Watch this. They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. We just went through how to love the truth. That's going to be hearing his words, putting them into practice. If I don't hear his words, I'm not going to know the difference between miracle signs and wonders and fake miracle signs and wonders. I'm not going to know the difference between true godliness and fake godliness. I'm not going to know the difference between true Christians and false Christians. What we're going to get from them and what we still see happening is they're going to give non-biblical based ideologies. I hear a lot of stuff coming into the church right now. And like I said, the disturbing spot is not those things. That's what's supposed to happen. The Bible warned of it. But how many people dive on these things? Listen, there are more people who are conspiracy driven, who are more historically driven, who are based on these non-biblical based things in which they're pushing. You'll hear them argue these points and not argue what the Bible says. Or the partial Bible-based ideologies, where they take part of the Bible and then they mix it around their new thing. You know, these people try to create groups and they make up stuff where they mix up history and they talk about mountains and they talk about prophecies that are not based on, they're wrong because they read them wrong and they don't use the entire Bible. Human intellect-based ideologies. We try to say science discredits the Bible because people are using interpretations of science in order to distort the word. Emotionally based ideologies. You got people that have turned God into this, or especially turned Christ into this emotional mess, to this guy who, even though he's laid down foundations, he's going, oh, well, don't worry about it. And even worsely so, culturally based ideology. History itself and where we think we fit and what defines us, our culture tries to do that. And when I allow it, it will dictate everything about me, even though that should be my Christianity. And this is how he's going to get away with it. And he's going to get away with it with tons of people. I watch people and they listen to some teachers and they get excited. I listen to that same teacher, like I said, and go, how are you excited? Because I'll hear some things that'll hit either emotional, intellectual, so on and so forth. And then they got you. And it's your fault because you refuse to love the truth and so be saved. It's disturbing how many there are out there. So how do I recognize and build on the only true foundation? Please understand the first part of it, and this goes to every Christian when we first become a Christian, I have to stop something and start something, right? He says, stop considering the world's point of view. I have to start that. Stop that. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. So I hear these speakers and these people get up there, and I'm not saying what they're saying is right or wrong. I eliminate that. I'm like, okay, sounds good, sounds good, sounds good. That's it. That's all fluff. Okay. But getting to the nitty gritty, I don't follow that. That is not my foundation. I allow myself to be transformed. It says, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what I'm going to take to apply is what God says. So when I hear these conspiracies, when I hear these different things that are put out here, when I hear the things on the news, when I hear things that trigger my emotions, all that stuff I push aside. I'm totally dedicated and totally committed to doing what he says, period. You get this, okay? In doing that, he says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This will keep me in doing what God's will is. Remember, he says, not only those who do the will of my Father will enter the kingdom of heaven. He made that real clear. How will I know his will? By the transformation of the renewing of my mind. I'm still going to feel influenced by things, but I will no longer be influenced by things. I still have triggers in my life. I still hear things that make me feel a certain way. Now, some say, I'll just stay away from that. I don't listen to this. Well, no, because then when it blindsides you, you're not prepared. Do you get it? What you learn to do is learn not to be bothered by it. That's a practice you must take, because Satan's going to hit you one way or the other. In order to do this, you avoid ungodly, worldly concepts. Now, to avoid them doesn't mean you try to go into a cave and, you know, get to people, I don't watch the news, I don't listen to this, I don't stop doing that, okay? When it says avoid them, I avoid participating in them. I recognize they're out there, but they don't become a foundational thing to me. I'm not going to fight for them. I'm not going to get into them. I'm not going to deal with them. I'm not going to participate with them. When it says do not indulge and consider ungodly ideas. Right? We don't allow those to play a part in what we do. Recognize they exist. He shows in 2 Timothy 2, 16 through 19. He says, avoid godless chatter. So in other words, I hear it, and the minute I know there's no foundation of Christ, it's gone away. Okay? You should be able to go through social media and oh wow. But we get caught up in stuff going, I didn't think about that. Now you're caught. Exactly how Satan got Eve. Exactly how he got them. And we still keep doing it. He says, avoid godless chatter. How do I know when it's godless? When I can't find foundational word on what the person said. Because he made very clear, because those who indulge in it will become. He didn't say may, will become more and more ungodly. That's exactly what you see. You see people who are supposed to be Christian, whose truth is supposed to be the word, but because they keep dabbling in all this other stuff and dabbling in it to get information, next thing you know, I don't know where they're going and the stuff they're following and the people that they're following. It says their teaching will spread like gangrene. Then you go tell some other people who are weak. And he gives an example. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. So in other words, they had the truth and they wandered away from it. And this is happening to many that will get the truth. Next thing you know, they're speaking a lot of garbage, which is not based in the Bible. They say that the resurrection has already taken place and they destroy the faith of some. That's devastating. They convince these people to go the wrong way. Look what he says. 19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm. In other words, the word hasn't budged. So why are you giving me this new information? Sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. Did you catch that? Right? The Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. That's huge to us. Because how do I turn away from wickedness? Just do what our Father tells us. There's a lot of stuff that look good to do, but if it's not grounded in the word, hesitate to do it. We must check the substance of all viewpoints. He says in Colossians 2, verse 8, see to it. Make sure of this, he's saying. Understand this and recognize this. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies. Did you catch that? Through hollow and deceptive philosophies. So immediately, and I have to go through this with people, and they'll immediately go, oh yeah, they preached the word. Oh yeah, it was based on the Bible. Okay, can we sit down and go through this? Because you'll find out their basis will not be based on the word. They'll probably use a scripture here to try to make you think it's following it, and they'll use it incorrectly. That's why they say deceptive philosophies. Philosophies that'll make you think it's from him, from God, when it's not from God. And they're going to depend more on human tradition, which you see a lot of churches, we're doing a lot of things that people go, hey, when did we start that? You won't see it in the Bible. You'll see it in what man started. And we're more dedicated to human traditions than we are to what the Bible says. He says, and the basic principles of the world, what we call common sense. It'll fit what the world says. Well, everybody does this. Nobody does that, right? And you get a lot of people to fall into that. He says, rather than on Christ. Instead of going, can you show me that in the Bible? That should be our question. The big safety measure to stay on the firm foundation is staying within the word. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6 says, "Now, brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying," watch this, "do not go beyond what is written." Now, when going beyond what is written simply means I'm reading the Bible and you get a lot of people that come up with this, and I read this other book, and I saw this other thing, and I saw, if you want some historical understanding, and unfortunately, you really got to be careful with that, because a lot of it are tainted books in which people pick and choose, and then they give you what's called history book, while reality is corrupted history. Majority of history we've gotten in schools is corrupted history, and they did it for her morale. That was a political thing. You can look that up. And you really had to go do real research to go, how come I didn't learn this in history class? And all that is going to drive you crazy. But if I just stayed in the Word, I don't care if I got false or good or whatever history, I'm going to be prepared for anything. He says, then you will not take pride in one man over against another. Right now, people are so confused because we think this teacher is great and this teacher is bad because of what some people are saying. But if I just stayed in the Word lets me know that everybody is evil. I just follow Christ. If you're giving me Christ, amen. All I want is Christ. Care less who you are and what you do. And as Jesus showed, it must be soundly from the Bible and based on God. Matthew 4, 6-7, we see this over and over again because I'm trying to show you this process of sound doctrine. Where Satan said, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written. So Satan used the Bible because Satan knows the Bible. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. So he used the Bible. And this is where many people are stuck. Yep, they used the Bible. Yep, it's in the Bible. Is it? Did you really put time into it? And Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He's showing him. Oh, yeah, I'm not saying that's not in the Bible, but did you use sound doctrine? The problem is we got a lot of people out here that are given distorted word, which, of course, is eliminating foundations. And that's why it's something that that if we're not careful, we'll receive it and we'll eliminate our foundation. Get this. Because he said, hear these words of mine. Do you get it? And if I can distort that word, then it's no longer his word. It says in 2 Peter 3, verse 16, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand. Okay, and we get this a lot of times. We read stuff in the Bible and it's tough. But watch this, which ignorant and unstable people distort. I don't care how much you like the person. The minute they distort that word, they tell you, oh, you don't have to listen to this. Oh, this because of this historical fact is why we don't have to follow this. Oh, don't read this part of the Bible. Just read this part of the Bible. He says, as they do other scriptures. In other words, they do this all the time. They give you a pass on something you just read. But he says, to their own destruction. That is never acceptable. And you still got Christians that are following this process. The Bible is spiritual and is spiritually understood. As I grow in what the Bible says, I become more and more spiritual. Because spirituality is me going through the practice of reading the word and applying it. The more I do that, the more spiritual I become, the more I understand it. The more I understand it, the more I read the word and apply it. Then I understand it more. And it's a maturity process. I get to know Christ, and then I get clarity on the word. Those people who want to know it right now won't get it because you can't get it. It says in 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 16, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing, watch this, spiritual truths in spiritual words. It's saying, and I'm going to use German, that this is a whole different language with a whole different ideology. It says the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. It's saying the man who speaks English cannot receive what the guy speaking German says. Did you catch that? Okay, or whatever other language, right? I can't accept them because I don't know what they're saying. In fact, he says, for they are foolishness to him. They're going to be gibberish to me. It's like, hey, this guy has something very important to tell you. And then they go speak another language. I'm sitting there going, I have no idea what he's saying. It's foolishness to me. I can't do anything to it. So even the hearing of it, it makes no sense. This is stupid. It says he cannot understand, and watch this, because they are spiritually discerned. Did you catch that? They are spiritually discerned. I need the interpretation through the Spirit in order for me to understand. For me to distinguish what's right and wrong, I have to be led by the Spirit. It says the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. All this comes down to having that solid foundation. This is the instruction on what we have to do. We have to do this consistently, and we have to make sure that we stay firm in it. In the end, there is one thing that will truly show those on the true foundation. John 12 really puts it out there, starting in verse 47. As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, he says, I do not judge him. Why? For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. Okay? So Jesus said, that was not my job. But watch what he says. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him in the last days. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. When it comes down to it, and you must get this, okay? He said the thing that's going to judge us is that very word. Now think about that for a second, because I listen to people right now, and they go through life, and when you ask, why did you do it, or what's your decision for making this, or why are you in that relationship, and they'll start going in an answer. Now, what I had to learn a long time ago is, how am I going to answer this if I had to answer this to God? And he's saying the only right answer is, because you said. Because your word said. That's it. It's the only right answer. Do you get this? A lot of people are living a life and they have convinced themselves that what they're doing, that they mean well and they're going in the right way. And then when it's time to answer for it, you're going to have answers like, I thought, I felt, I didn't see a problem with. And not because your word said. If you want to know if you have a true foundation, check your life. Simply put, I do this because his word says. I'm following this because his word says. And it better be sound doctrine. You better not be that person who's using a scripture here and ignoring scripture over there, which solidifies that answer. To know this, you bring this up in question and answer. You bring this up in times when we talk. You search this to make sure you have the true words to make sure your foundation is firm. Man, there's a lot of people out there sinking. You don't want to be one of those that's sinking, and you want to make sure you're ministering to those that are. Let us get our feet on the solid rock, which is Christ, because all other ground is sinking sand. Let us pray. Dear most loving, most gracious Father, first of all, we thank you for providing that solid rock, that foundation that we need in our walk. Help us, dear Lord, to make sure we get on it and stand firmly on it. Help us to walk in such a way that we're honoring and glorifying you at all times. Help us not to be deceived and misled by what we feel, but to follow you at all times in every way. We can't thank you enough for the love you continue to show us, for the mercy you have given us, for the grace you provided for us. But help us, dear Lord, that have allowed ourselves to be misled and to go the wrong way, to sincerely and to reverently follow you, to make sure we redirect and stay firmly on you. We thank you so much for all that you have done and all these blessings we asked in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say, Amen.